top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens, wherever it happens. Local, regional, and global. Only on Q95, the big station. Q95DA.com. Right on cue.
Good morning. This is the morning news for today, Friday, June 26, 2020. I'm your presenter, Hassan Robinson. Here are the headlines. Criminal investigative consultant Kenneth Rizhak opines on Alex Saab Moran, who was arrested on money laundering charges, the latest holder for Dominican diplomatic passport to get arrested. In the regional news, Chief Executive Officer Mrs. Julie Rifer Jones has announced that Liat's commercial passenger services will remain suspended until July 15, 2020, due to the continued impact of the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. And the U.S. government inspectors found the U.S. Treasury mistakenly sent more than $1.4 billion of pandemic rescue funds to dead people. The news is brought to you for the very kind compliments of Rudolph Thomas Enterprises. The details of these stories and more are coming up next.
Rudolph Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe, and Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
And welcome back. Criminal investigative consultant Kenneth Rizhak speaks on the latest holder for Dominican diplomatic passport to get arrested. Arrested in Cape Verde, Alex Saab Moran, who was wanted on money laundering charges, finally saw his day with Lady Justice. Mr. Rizhak says this story has been repeated countless times within the Caribbean, where power and greed gets tangled in the web of theft. He was speaking with Q95 via telephone interview on Thursday morning, where he revealed the shadiness of the diplomatic title in question.
While there are bona fide diplomats in Dominica's diplomatic service corps, there are many, many more foreign nationals who, for cash paid under the table to senior government leaders in Dominica, they acquire a diplomatic passport. In this case, he was designated a very vague term of ambassador at large without any designated embassy or mission or consulate. And he had no duties, and he was not seconded or, you know, transmitted to any particular country. It's the oldest story in the Bible. It's just simple fraud. And unfortunately, if Clico had not gone down the pipe, then probably wouldn't be having this conversation. But, you know, when a company goes under, people start looking, especially creditors, and they realize this. Talking about a couple of years ago that he had diverted that money. So he has been charged with several counts, including money laundering, including fraud, including theft, including what amounts to tax evasion in that country. And it's a story that has been repeated over and over and over again in the Caribbean of somebody in a position of power who is so arrogant that he takes it upon himself to steal, thinking that he's bulletproof and he'll never be charged. Well, we all thought that he would never be charged, but guess what? You know, old Lady Justice rears her ugly head, and here he's looking at probably a really nasty trial and a couple of years in prison.
And that was a criminal investigative consultant, Kenneth Rizhak. And corporate business executive and CEO of YSQFM Radio, Sharon Gregoire, is urging business owners in Dominica to continue following the COVID-19 protocols for proper business operations to mitigate the spread of the COVID-19 virus. Gregoire also expressed empathy to the many Dominicans at home and abroad who are struggling financially as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic.
I want to take this opportunity to personally thank the healthcare providers. We are in the COVID pandemic period, and all of the frontline workers for the work that they continue to do to keep us all safe from this dreaded COVID-19 pandemic. And I encourage everyone to follow the guidelines and observe the protocols. And I also want to say that our hearts go out to all of the Dominicans at home and abroad who are having a rough time financially and otherwise during this pandemic. Hope something positive and meaningful can happen real soon to alleviate whatever hardships you may be suffering at this time.
And that was a former cooperative executive and CEO of YSQFM Radio, Sherrianne Gregoire. And ear, nose and throat specialist, as well as head and neck surgeon, Dr. Irvin Pascal, speaks out on the oxymoronic disparity between legalization, regulation and the decriminalization of natural herb cannabis in a nature island. His statements came in the context of the pronounced illegalities attributed to an element of nature in a country that portrays itself as the nature island of the Caribbean and plants are being called illegal. He says, with evidence-based decision-making, along with scientific data, one's orientation would become clear on the subject matter. As long as the plants are illegal in the nature or natural environment, a medicinal herbal practice is twice as arduous, he says.
In the Dominican context, legalization versus decriminalization, it's an oxymoron. You just have to just go ahead and just legalize the plant in Dominica, because if we say we are the nature island, which is the position of Oracle, if we say we are the nature island, there's no plant that can be legal. You can't go promoting Dominica as a nature island and you have a plant like cannabis that has in 2020 is so useful, can actually revolutionize the whole Dominican economy and enhance our lifestyles and secure the future of generations to come. And you can talk about decriminalizing it. That's my first contribution based on the things that have been said. Also, the issue of if you're going to use the evidence to determine our decisions and not be vicivive, as Marshall is illustrating, it's the research, the evidence. So that's what's going to inform your decision. The problem or the challenge with doing research on medical research on human beings with cannabis, why it's illegal, is just that.
And that was a Dr. Irvin Pascal, ENT specialist. And a significant progress has been made in establishing a hospital board to manage the new national hospital. This comes from Dr. Donald Peters of the National Health Commission. The new board is expected to take over and begin its management in the new year 2021. The National Health Commission was tasked with drafting the legislation of this matter. As Dr. Donald Peters says, drafting the legislation with help from qualified persons arrived at a structure of 9 persons. He gave some more details on the construction of the board.
We have drafted the legislation that will govern the board in the future. We were speedy on that and we're right there with the board because, you know, legislation is the toughest one to really get it going. We had a lot of help from overseas and so we're almost ready. In that also, we made recommendations for the composition of the new board. The only thing I can tell you now, it will be 9 people, a board of 9. We have developed and presented a new governance structure for management of the hospital, the cabinet, and the PM has made some suggestions, but largely they have accepted the structure that we have presented to them. We have also advertised for the position of CEO, and so we got like 19 applicants, and now we have 3 finalists. We have submitted a budget to complete the objective, I suppose that will be approved by this week. We have also met with all the sectors of the hospital and staff.
He also says the scariest aspect was the staff buying into the process, as so far it has been satisfactory.
And I must say that in research, the toughest thing for making transitions of that nature, the scariest thing is staff buying. And we were really conscious of that and started meeting with the staff earlier. And yesterday again we met with them and everybody was impressed of how excited they are for the switch. And we'll continue that process until 2021 because there's no way you can put a hospital system together without the staff. They have to be integrally involved in the decision-making process.
And that was Dr. Donald Peters of the National Health Commission. And verbal hills of fire are being thrown upon the heads of Dominican historians. whom former housing minister and former prime minister of Dominica Oliver James O'Serafin claims have willfully left out essential portions of Dominica's history under the Patrick Roland John Dominica Labour Party administration in order to undermine the work of that administration.
Yes, that is true, because in 1978, when we were seeking elections, I recall going to London with Patrick as the first set of ministers with Leo Austin and with Vic Revere to hold the discussions, which has never come in any of the historical information that has been given to the public of Dominica. When we were sent, when we went to England to discuss and inform the government of the UK that we have a desire to be independent, there was a lot of demonstration as well that was created by that same class of people who met with us outside the Low Black Bridge, you see Low Black Bridge, and where thousands of people had gathered from there to the street leading up to the ministry. There were people there who were shouting and screaming at us for having had the audacity to go seeking independence under the leadership of a man called Patrick Young. And H.L. Christian, again, in his book, will probably outline a lot more information than I can say in this short interview. And of course, a lot of that will be coming up in a book that I'm writing called The Stolen Legacy.
Mr. Serafin continues further.
In 79, there was an effort to remove Patrick from government because of the fact that before 79 and 78, the intention was not to allow government of Dominica to become under the control of the Labour Party class. That was clear. So by 79, the market was only 6 months after independence, where an opportunity arose. And that is where we have a matter of information lack, I would say. And interestingly enough, when I tried to get some of the information that was in the archives of Dominica, I'm able to get information from the legislature, from the Hansard at the legislature, you could get information. But there's very little information that's on tape at BBS Radio as to the moment in time of Patrick John and Ute Serafin and so on. We know a lot of history was destroyed during that time. So there is Nkrumah referred to it as the neo-colonialists who sought to remove history from the knowledge of the people. And so even as we speak today, there are people, if they ask you, you ask a young person of 20, 25 or 30, who is O.J. Serafin, you might never have a chance to give you a response because you've never read it anywhere. And so that's where we are.
And that was a former housing minister in the Patrick John Dominica Labour Party administration and former Prime Minister of Dominica Oliver James O.J. Serafin. And a herbalist and holistic life advocate, Ras Bobby, calls for the removal of all laws related to cannabis, alluding to the racist foundation of the laws attributed to cannabis as a result of white ignorance. Ras Bobby says the current legalization is a form of punishment for herbs in the nature aisle, and that this needs to change from the ground up. He was speaking on the Global View on Q program on QFM earlier this week.
You know, and so let us realize that we have a great opportunity. So we have a great opportunity, but first and foremost, we have to change things on the ground. We're talking about decriminalization, which is like partial punishment for the use of cannabis in Nature Island. Now, as a herbalist, the elder in the St. Thomas Bingley House tell me, all I want them to do is to remove all laws relating to cannabis. The laws that wasn't there before and that come about as a result of racism, we want them to remove those laws. Because even places like America, you cannot bring forth a law as a result of racism. And those white men, their argument at the time is when the white woman uses cannabis, she wants the black man. And it caused all black people's stomach to turn over, and they use that logic to bring forth a law that is just totally contrary to what this great plant really is.
And that was herbalist and holistic life advocate Ras Bobby. And the acts of greed displayed by Dominican diaspora and locals who supported the Roosevelt-Skerrit-led DLP administration is giving birth to terrible consequences for those committing the act and for the economy. That's according to a Dominica Business Forum president and chairman of the Dominica Manufacturers Association, Sever McKenzie, who gave an example of such greed, which was displayed even in the midst of the COVID-19 crisis.
Then a certain amount of greed. And sometimes I say it's stupidity, but then I say, no, it's not stupidity. It's a certain amount of wickedness on the part of it. Because when I saw, for example, that some persons who are doing much better accepted packages, relief packages, during the COVID-19, right? As the selected few, because of their support for one party or the other. And then you see right next to them a neighbor who is alleged to be maybe a supporter of the opposition or not a government supporter.
And that was the Dominican Business Forum President Severn McKenzie. In other news, Liat's commercial passenger service will remain suspended until July 15th due to the continued impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, the airline has announced. Chief Executive Officer Mr. Julie Rifa-Jones noted that whilst territories have begun to announce reopening dates, there are extended quarantine restrictions and protocols which are impacting demand for travel. The CEO noted that the airline's management and board of directors will continue to monitor the situation and will review the decision in July as more information becomes available. The airline acknowledged that while the extension was extremely difficult, it was necessary as the airline works towards a feasible restart. The CEO reassured that Liat is still committed to keeping the region connected. And the U.S. territory mistakenly sent more than US$1.4 billion of its pandemic rescue funds to dead people, the government inspectors have found. The finding was one of several challenges uncovered in the official review of federal coronavirus aid. Since March, Congress has pumped some $2.6 trillion into the American economy in an effort to shield it from the virus slowdown. But the rush to deliver the money has contributed to errors. Inspectors noticed that the report also warned that the Paycheck Protection Program, for small businesses, because of the number of loans approved, the speed with which they were processed, and the limited safeguards, there is a significant risk that some fraudulent or inflated applications will prove.
Yeah, $1.4 billion sent to people who had died. The Government Accountability Office put out its first report today on the coronavirus response. The agency is required as part of the CARES Act to issue a report bi-monthly looking at the response so far. And I did talk to a director at the GAO a few minutes ago, and he said that Treasury knew this could happen, that officials had brought it up. They had warned that this was a possibility, but IRS counsel determined they did not have the legal authority to deny payments to people who filed a tax return but had died. GAO told me that IRS reversed course, but after most of the payments had already gone out. The watchdog also found that in order to fulfill the mandate that these checks go out as rapidly as possible, Treasury and IRS used some dated procedures from 2008 that did not filter these payments through death records. Now, the GAO recommends making sure all of the agencies involved have access to those death records to make sure this doesn't happen again. IRS has those records right now, but not Treasury and not the agency that actually sends out those checks. So that could be a problem going forward if they don't address it. The GAO wants Treasury and IRS to take more steps to try to get that money back. IRS has put a notice on their website saying how to return that money, but GAO says that they should actually send letters to everybody who may have gotten those checks improperly, to the families or to those recipients, so they can return that money. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer did put out a statement saying that this shows the need for more oversight. He said, in part, every small bit of oversight that the Republicans have done has had to be pushed by Democrats. We should be having far more robust oversight over what has happened, as well as moving forward on a new bill. Now, the Select Subcommittee on the Coronavirus Crisis is going to have a hearing with GAO tomorrow, so we'll be sure to hear more about this in the coming days.
And that's the morning news. Here's a recap of the headlines. Criminal investigative consultant Kenneth Rizhok opines on Alex Saab Moran, who was arrested on money laundering charges, the latest holder of a Dominican diplomatic passport to get arrested. Chief Executive Officer Mr. Julie Rifa-Jones has announced that Liat's commercial passenger services will remain suspended until July 15th due to the continued impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. And U.S. government inspectors found that the U.S. Treasury mistakenly sent more than US$1.4 billion of pandemic rescue funds to dead people. The news was brought to you with the very kind compliments of Rudolph Numbers Enterprises.
Cue.
top of the hour news. As it happens, when it happens.